welcome Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. And yes, we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And you recognize him. He is back. We have attorney Ken Affianco on the show, and he's actually still certified law enforcement, and he's helping cops out across the Tampa Bay area that get themselves in the pinch, in the grease. So he's handled a lot of let's just say exit strategies and help preserve a lot of careers. So thanks so much for being on the show, Ken. Appreciate it. Look, a shout out to our sponsors, guys. Please support our sponsors. They go the great lengths to bring this show to you. We have our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com, also ComplyTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor. And yes, thanks to them, we've been on satellite radio since May of this year. We love it. AeroPrecisionUSA.com, our arm sponsor. We have GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.live, SafeguardRecruiting.com, our streaming sponsor. And yes, thanks to them, we're streaming to over a million people right now. Also, TwoBells.com, they built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com, and FishOrlandoBass.com. This is a new one for you, Ken. So Zach has got FishOrlandoBass.com in the Orlando area. So the next time you're taking the wife and the kids or maybe the grandkids to Disney, you now have options, Ken. You can hook up with Zach. Keep the car in gear, the foot on the brake. Let the wife and the kids, grandkids out, and then go see Zach and do the bass fishing charter. Or get this, Ken. If you're feeling very adventurous, you can do the alligator hunting, and you can catch and relocate alligators here in Florida. It's a great opportunity. Ken knows what I'm talking about because he lives in the Tampa Bay area. So it's FishOrlandoBass.com. Hey, shout out to Brian Burns with the Tampa Free Press at TampaEP.com. Thanks for carrying the content, Brian. Also, Ray Dietrich with FormerLawman.com and our very own Travis Yates with LawOfficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make this show happen. And now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? You know, we've got VP Vance. The media in this country, they've made it okay to tee off on American law enforcement. And he said that in a very neat venue. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. But Vance is very pro-law enforcement. Trump demands Bonnie to, quote, do something after revelation of how many FBI agents at the January 6th event? Can you guys believe 274? Four? Crap. Then we got Washington State permanently blocks from criminalizing priest confidentiality of confession. Now, when we talked about that originally, we had attorney Ken Affianco on the show. There's been an update involving that we're going to be covering. Now we got Louisiana State Police release a body cam from a deadly traffic stop that killed a guy named Brandon Nicholas, our bad guy. And then a Florida mother faces felonies after a violent arrest at a school. And you guessed it. Attorney Ben Crump is stepping in to save the day. But we're going to be talking about that because we got video on that one. And then we got California court. They blocked the full seizure of a murderer's retirement funds for restitution. Ken, I've been holding on to this one, waiting for you to come on the show to talk about this. And I want you to dummy that down for us. And then Lenexa Police Department releases a 911 call and body cam from a June incident that left the guy dead. And then finally, Toronto police officer pleads guilty to assault and careless use of a firearm in a shooting that left a man injured. So the cop pled guilty. And Ken, I mean, it's our fourth video. I'm curious what you think about that one. So, I mean, we can take any of these out of order that you want to. So I know you're drinking. It looks like you're drinking a hot liquid. You may want to put a little something extra in there. You may need that for some of the stories today. So if you're okay, let's start off with the two main topics. RealClearPolitics.com. So, J.D. Vance, our favorite vice president, the media in this country, they made it okay to, quote, tee off on American law enforcement. So Vice President J.D. Vance, he condemned the media's coverage of the president's mass deportation campaign and the crackdown on crime. He said that they justify police and federal agents being assaulted, beaten, and shot at. And those are all in quotes. The problem here, and this is a quote too, the problem here is not the Insurrection Act or whether we actually invoke it or not. The problem is the fact that the entire media in this country, cheered on by a few far left lunatics, at least he's calling them what they are, they've made it okay to tee off on American law enforcement. And we cannot accept that. And that's what Vance said to NBC's Meet the Press on Sunday. And the reporter, Kristen Welker, Kristen, she just wants to talk about the Insurrection Act, right? And Vance is doing a great job of keeping her on point. So she responds, of course, there's a major legal battle underway about the administration's deployment of the National Guard. It does come as NBC News is reporting that the administration has been seriously discussing invoking the Insurrection Act. She keeps going back to that. And that would give the president the power to direct federal troops to conduct law enforcement functions in the case of a national emergency. And now she's starting to ask Vance, is this the case? Are you seriously considering invoking the Insurrection Act? So Sex, she's like a she's not like a pit bull because she ends up losing the battle, but she's like a little poodle, like biting with her teeth, trying to grab onto that. She just can't keep it. Vance keeps ripping it out of her mouth. So Vance responds, well, the president is looking at all the option. He talks about that. Remember, we're talking about the crime that's gotten out of control in our cities. He talks about ICE agents, the people who are enforcing the immigration laws. They faced a 1,000% increase in violent attacks against them. And Vance doesn't stop there. He says, we have people right now who are out there who are doing the job the president asked them to do. They're enforcing the immigration laws. They're being assaulted. They're being beaten. They're being shot at. The problem is not the Insurrection Act or whether we're actually going to invoke it or not. The problem is the fact that the entire media in this country, including who he's talking to, they're cheered on by a few far left lunatics, wackos. I threw the word wacko in. Sorry about that, Ken. I couldn't resist, Ken. But they're making it okay to tee off on American law enforcement. We cannot accept that in the United States of America. We want everybody, black and white, rich or poor, to be safe in the United States of America. But to do that, we have to empower our law enforcement agents to keep us safe. And that's what we're talking about doing. So then she says, okay, got a couple points here. First of all, there's an Illinois judge that says state and local authorities, they have been able to handle the protest activity. So in other words, we don't need the National Guard, right? That ICE and other federal agencies have been able to continue to do their work. Crime is down in Chicago and Portland. But is there a rebellion? In other words, she's asking, you're talking about the Insurrection Act, but if the cops can handle the problem in Chicago and Portland, is there really a rebellion? Is there really an insurrection? Is there really going to be the vindication, you know, the validness out there, you know, to do the Insurrection Act? Is it imminent? And he responds, crime is down in Chicago and Portland because they're just being overwhelmed at the local level. And they're not even keeping statistics properly. Ding, ding, ding. I'm glad he finally said it. Just a couple of weeks ago, we had an ICE officer that got shot at by a far left assassin who was trying to kill law enforcement. But unfortunately, he didn't kill cops. He killed the innocent people that he's trying to protect. And I see Ken nodding his head. You know, he gets it. So he said, we cannot allow the far left in this country. And he goes off again. I mean, J.D. Vance is trying to drill home the point. It's the far left lunatics, the wackos in this country that are teeing off on the law enforcement, that are causing other people to do it, that are encouraging it. And the media is not holding anybody accountable. They're just helping the far left get the message out there. And so that's pretty much the nuts and bolts of what happened between, you know, J.D. Vance, you know, and this Kristen, you know, Welker that was on NBC News, you know, Meet the Press. Ken Afianco, we have almost 3 minutes.
Yes, sir. I, for the life of me, I'll never understand how we got so upside down with our priorities in this country. It makes absolutely no sense to me why law enforcement is vilified, yet criminals are protected. I'll never understand it. You can explain it to me 100 different ways and I still won't accept it. My fear is this, the media is still gonna play this storyline that they're gonna sell papers and print stories, whatever they're gonna do. The bottom line is I'm waiting for it to trickle down to local and county law enforcement. We obviously have our share of problems on the street. We don't need any more. But I assure you, it's going to go ahead and balloon out and incorporate local and county law enforcement into their mix. And that's what I'm really afraid of. And once that happens, I think we've lost complete control of the country. As far as I'm concerned, anyone who obstructs, attacks, or otherwise hinders any federal law enforcement or any law enforcement for that matter should get a minimum mandatory at least 10 years in prison. That's if the officer doesn't get hurt. If they get hurt, then it goes up from there. That would stop it in a heartbeat. I don't understand any of this and no one can explain it to me. It's just offensive from being an officer for so long. It's offensive to me what I see on TV. So I hope Pam Bondi comes in and cleans house. That's what needs to be done.
I cannot wait as well. So, wow. So not a huge surprise, but that's what's going on, guys. I love the fact that J.D. Vance, you know, he's not just a pretty face. He's actually, if he does go up, you know, for president and when Trump's done, I have to say, you know, that I would be very happy with J.D. Vance as president. I think just by all appearances, he seems like he can handle the job pretty well. So, Well, Ken, if there's no other comments, we got another story that we're going to be talking about. So are you ready to move on to the next one?
Sure, let's hear it.
RVMnews.com. Trump demands that Bondi, our attorney general, he wants her to, quote, do something with an exclamation point after revelation of 274 FBI agents at the January 6th event. Guys, that is like a staggering number of FBI agents, if that's true, being at the January 6th. And, you know, the reason why I'm saying that is because we did have an FBI director, former director Ray, who said he didn't know. So was he lying? Was he not? Guys, stick around. It's going to get really good. Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about our toddler sponsor at Gauls. At Gauls.com. And you know, as police officers, we know we can get our gear from a lot of different places. And when you throw the online mix, the choices are almost limitless. But I want to remind everybody here about the importance of actually supporting the companies that support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. Even their motto is, and listen to this, proud to serve those who serve, which of course they do in spectacular fashion. And not only that, they walk the talk. They support dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com. And no, we're not done. They're going to do you one better. For the loyal listeners of the show, they're going to give you a code and you can get 15% off your next purchase at Gauls.com by simply typing in Radio 15. So type in Radio 15 in order to get 15% off your next purchase at Gauls.com. And you know, I just got a beautiful pair of waterproof Danner boots and I got them on sale. I didn't even use the code, and it's a great opportunity, and they have gift cards, Gauls.com. Now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And guys, they've got a lot going on at Compliant Technologies, and it's not just about the glove. You know, Compliant Technologies in today's world, protection goes beyond physical safety. It's about safeguarding those on the front lines from what we call hidden threats. And that's where MyTech, which is a division of Compliant Technologies, comes in. Now, MyTech provides advanced protective solutions designed to help law enforcement, corrections, and first responders. They're Eagle Protect nitrile gloves. They offer 4-hour fentanyl and xylene protection, giving you peace of mind in high-risk environments. Plus, their MyShield disinfectants and sanitizers eliminate 99.9% of germs, bacteria, and viruses on contact. And we're not done. They continue to kill for up to 28 days, giving you peace of mind in these high-risk environments and helping you stay protected both on and off duty. So when safety is non-negotiable, you can trust MyTech to deliver the protection that you need. And you can learn more about how to equip your team today by simply going to ComplianTechnologies.com/MyTech. Again, that's ComplianTechnologies/MyTech, because the best defense starts with the right protection. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues from a law enforcement perspective. We've got attorney Ken Affianco on the show. And, you know, we left off talking about 274 FBI agents at the January 6th event. You've got to be freaking kidding me. President Donald Trump on Sunday issued a new statement on Truth Social calling for Attorney General Pam Bondi and the Department of Justice to, quote, do something, following reports that there were 274 FBI agents that were present and undercover among the crowd that was at the U.S. Capitol on January the 6th, 2021, and this is reported by the Gateway Pundit. Now, Trump's message came shortly after his scheduled trip to the Middle East, and we know how wonderful that went. Oh, my gosh, waking up with peace around the world today, at least in the Middle East, and followed revelations by former FBI Director Christopher Wray. Now, Chris Wray allegedly misled Congress when he testified that he was unaware of any undercover FBI personnel operating at the event. I saw him say that. The report, which surfaced over the weekend, it's fueled renewed questions about the scope of the FBI's involvement during this January 6th protest, the accuracy of the statements that were made under oath by senior bureau officials like FBI Director Christopher Wray. And here's a quote from Trump saying that Chris Wray lied to the American people. And he wrote this in his post. He also said he set up good American patriots who attended the January 6th protest, and then he sat silent as the Biden DOJ ruined their lives. And this development has prompted Trump to again urge Attorney General Pam Bondi to take what they're calling decisive action against what he described as a longstanding deep state corruption within the federal enforcement, within federal law enforcement. That is troubling, I have to admit. You know, we've heard the rumors and we've seen the stories about there being a lot of agents, 274. That's just mind-boggling. Federal agencies federal agents. We're not even talking about confidential informants. We're talking about federal agents. I mean, if there were 274 federal agents at this January 6th event, you know, allegedly or possibly encouraging people to go ahead and compromise, you know, the barrier to go inside the U.S. Capitol Can you imagine how many potential informants there were that were maybe doing the same thing, Ken?
No question about it. What struck me when I read the article is that it was 274. I don't know where they got that number. If people are claiming that we don't know anything about it, I wonder how they got that number.
That's just not a round number. Yeah. 300, 350.
Yeah, exactly. That's an odd number. The other thing that concerns me is if they were there, and I'm not saying they were, I don't know, but if they were there, what was their role? And then the next question would be, who told them what their role was? Who's the main guy that was responsible for all this? Because Ray's certainly not taking any responsibility for it. Did he know about it? He had to have known about it if the FBI authorized it. So this thing is so convoluted. Yeah. I don't know where you would begin in all this. I do have a tough time believing 274 undercover FBI agents were at that January 6th event. I do. That's hard for me to believe. So
now they're calling for accountability. So if they're, I know there's a lot of moving pieces and a lot of it, you know, were these guys directed? Who were they directed by? Were the instructions given? Have whistleblowers, and I have reason to believe that whistleblowers have since come forward about this, giving this information, which is why I think we have that 274. And, you know, we may come to find out that the 274 includes informants or sources and not just all, you know, active agents. But I'll tell you, I don't know about you, Ken, but if these guys had an opportunity to not obey orders or not to do that, or if they just sat silent and didn't come clean afterwards, I wouldn't have an issue with them parting ways with the FBI or with federal service.
No question about it.
Yeah. So yeah, it is scary. What's even scarier is that I was supposed to be there with a buddy of mine, and I was supposed to be at that event. And I have to admit, you know, the good Lord works in mysterious ways, Ken, because if I would have gone there and my buddy Mike Christner would have been there, that means that you would have been there, because you would have been my first phone call. But even if I would have left, you know, if I had my cell phone with me and they're doing the GPS tracking and stuff, you know how that all that stuff works. So anyhow, by the grace of God, I ended up not going, and I missed going. But now I'm glad that I didn't go. It just would have been a world of hurt, and it wouldn't have been good, you know.
I can't picture you wearing a buffalo with horns headdress.
No, that would not have been me. No, you know what? I would have seen what was going on, and I would have gotten extremely uncomfortable. Sure. But I would have had, you know, at least I would have been a witness and had camera footage until they seized it on who was orchestrating what. Because I mean, I've seen the videos of people that work there, of the police walking people through the halls, showing them and they taking them in the offices and look at here. Hey, look at this over here and there. And, you know, I've seen the videos and it doesn't just raise doubt. It's conclusive evidence of what really happened. I mean, yeah, were there some naysayers or some potential bad guys there? But I'll tell you, this mass riot and stuff that never happened, these guys were being egged on, and then doors were being opened for a lot of these people that they just don't want to talk about. So yeah, there's a lot of misinformation going on from the liberal media sources. And yet again, liberal media is getting it wrong. And there's a lot of ignorant people out there who just simply aren't looking at the right news sources. So,
well, you know, the most bothersome thing of January 6th is the video of that woman getting shot and killed inside the Capitol. Actually, I've watched that video many times.
Ashley Babbitt, honestly,
yes, that poor girl that was shot. I've watched that video multiple times, and you know that's what I do for a living, to defend officers involved in shooting. I'd have had a really hard time defending that officer for doing what he did. That was to me, boy, that would have given me hair on the back of my neck standing up.
I gotta admit, I got a different feeling about that video. But I don't know. I wasn't there, but I know the glass was breaking, and I felt the door was getting ready to be breached. I don't know. I suspect I maybe know where the guy was coming from. I know that he's the only officer on the inside that shot. No one else did. But I know there's a lot of people that have more problems with that video than I do.
But anyhow,
that's the latest and the greatest here. So we'll see what Pam Bondi's going to do. I like Pam Bondi. And I'll tell you one thing. Donald Trump loves Pam Bondi. So when people see these things in the news about him directing her to do this or do that, he's making a public statement. He's doing that. He's not being theatrical for a reason, but he's doing that for a reason. But he don't get him wrong. He loves Pam Bondi. His complete faith and confidence in her. Our next commercial break coming up, guys. We'll be right back. All right, guys. It's time to introduce Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about Ken's favorite subject, long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. You can visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline because they basically have something for everybody. You know, since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with what they call soulless bolt actions, and that's not all. Their M4 E1 Pro and their Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market last year at AeroPrecisionUSA.com. The embodiments of duty rifle excellence now being tailored for the civilian customer, and that means you can start getting your hands on the primo stuff. And their M5 AR 308 platform, spectacular. Don't settle for less when you can have the best. Head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by attorney Ken Affianco. And we've been talking about a couple main topics, the last one being President Trump directing our Attorney General Pam Bondi to get busy, since there's when I think what was the number 200 reportedly 247 undercover FBI agents, you know, at the U.S. Capitol when all this stuff was going down and these people are being thrown in jail afterwards, not the FBI agents. And apparently Christopher Wray answered Congress and said he wasn't aware of any such stuff going on. So there's some issues with that. But again, if you're ready, we've got an update story about the our Catholic priest that we're going to cover. If you're up for that one, you were here for the last one. So
sure, let's do it.
Tampa Free Press at TampaEP.com, Washington State. So look, that's the, I love the way these things are written, because number one, when you hear the Washington State, and you know that you know that Seattle is like some of these woke places are in Washington. So whenever you hear Washington State, that's the first flag for me. So there, it's a whacked out locale, right? Washington State permanently blocks from criminalizing priest confidentiality of confession. So actually, they may be starting to get something right, because before, when we covered this story, they're trying to throw priest in jail. So listen, here's what we got. Washington State officials, they've agreed on a permanent court order that prevents the enforcement of a controversial law provision which seeks to criminalize Orthodox Christian priests for upholding the sacred confidentiality of confession. So, and maybe Ken, when we, at the end of the article, maybe you can explain to us, it doesn't say that they have removed the law, just that they're preventing the enforcement of it. I don't know exactly how that works. I am curious. It says that the decision comes 4 months after a lawsuit from the Orthodox Church in, well, it's called the Orthodox Church in America and versus Ferguson. It was filed challenging the constitutionality of the measure, and it targets the clergy while maintaining confidentiality protections for other professions. And so this is just blows my mind. The provision actually passed in May. Remember, we're talking about Washington State. It would have made it a crime for priests to maintain the confidentiality of disclosures that were made during the sacrament of confession. Violating this duty is considered a grave sin and a crime with severe consequences for a priest, including removal from the priesthood, which is what the church said that they were going to do if the priest did this, right? Even though it's against, you know, even though it's against law, they don't. Or at the time it was. The lawsuit filed in June by the Alliance of Defending Freedom, ADF, attorneys co-counsel Eric Nipman and George Aaron. They argued that the law was discriminatory because it revoked confidentiality privileges for the clergy, but it preserved them from other groups like attorneys and the clients and sexual assault advocates and peer supporters. A single violation of law, it could have carried penalties up to 364 days in jail and a $5,000 fine. So typically what a misdemeanor, less than a year in jail and a $5,000 fine. So that's where we're at. So Ken, where are you at on this? Did they finally get it right? Should it ever taken place? And then does the law still exist? How do they get around not removing the law, but they just can't enforce it? How does that work?
Well, my understanding, at least according to the article, that a temporary court order stopped the law from taking effect in July. However, I'm assuming that was a temporary restraining order. Then they have to have a full hearing on it. And then once the hearing was resolved, they basically worked it out where the state's not going to go ahead and pursue any type of criminal charges. So I think it was kind of done a little bit strange, for lack of a better term, rather than just saying the law is unconstitutional. They really didn't come to that conclusion. They just apparently had some sort of agreement from the state saying that we're not going to go ahead and enforce this because of the constitutionality issues. So yes, ultimately they got it right. How it got here in the first place is beyond me. It's the most stupid thing I've ever heard in my life. That'd be like coming to me and arresting me for my client admitting to 10 murders. You can't do it. It's confidentiality. There's many other confidentiality relationships, such as sexual assault counselor, sexual assault victim, doctor, patient. I mean, we've heard them all. These are sacred. These are protected. They want openness, honesty, and without fear of being prosecuted. And certainly parishioner and the church, that's one of the most sacred of all. That's probably the most long-standing privilege there is. That was, you know, when the Bible was first written, that sort of stuff came into play. So they got it right. But again, look at the source where this came from, and then I'll tell you how it got here.
Wow. So I hear you. This stuff is sacred. The confession should be private for a reason. It rightfully so, for obvious reasons. But just wow. I suspect the blowback from this and from the church, which I read some of the statements they made, and they were warning the priest, you know, if you feel compelled to do this because the law is saying that you have to do this, you have to reveal what someone told you when it was in a confessional. Guess what? We find out you're no longer going to be a priest anymore. I mean, oh my gosh. I mean, only in Washington State could you get something like this. And then to fix it, they didn't even rule it as unconstitutional, which is a good point that I didn't even think about, Ken. So, yeah.
Yeah. Now, they still have other mandatory reporting requirements, such as if the person comes in and talks about abusing children and such. But that's a pretty common reporting statute in most states. We have that in Florida as well, that you're obligated to report child abuse, child rape, that sort of stuff, regardless of the relationship. That's still in place. It's just this other stuff.
All right. All right. Well, thanks for dumbing that down for us. I appreciate it. Now, we got some stories of video components. So put your seatbelt on, Ken. Yep, have another swig of that drink. Guys, look, this story's got a video component. In fact, the next couple do. So what I always like to do is say that this is a live show, and it's too difficult to try to show a live video in a live show. And plus, you know, we're mostly a radio show anyhow. We have a video component, but you know, we've got a solution for you. So because we're talking about a video, we're going to describe in great detail what's going on so that you don't feel like you're missing out on anything. And if we cover a video that you absolutely have to see, all you have to do is go to our Rumble channel the next day at 9 o'clock in the morning Eastern time and watch that version of our show that's got all the videos embedded into it. It's a great way to watch a show. So our live show is Monday through Friday during the lunch hour, 12 to 1 o'clock Eastern time. The special produced video that comes out at 9 o'clock the next morning, that happens Tuesday through Saturday. It's the previous day's show. And you can, as we're talking, the video pops up while we're talking about it. You get to watch all the drama, all the action, and the good guys and bad guys, pictures of them pop up while we're talking about them. It's really a great experience. So check that out. That's our Rumble channel called Leo Roundtable. So this one, Rumble.com is where we got it. Our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. Louisiana State Police released body cam from a deadly traffic stop that killed a guy named Brandon Nichols.
He was being detained.
You have to call. Turn around for him, put your hands behind your back. All right. So right now, you're just being detained. Right now, you're just being detained, okay?
Stop! Get the f*** off! Get out! Run your way!
Right now, you're just being detained, okay?
Stop! Get the f*** off! Get out! Run your way!
Shot fired. Nicholas. So here we go. St. Amant or Amant, Louisiana. So according to the Louisiana State Police, around 2 o'clock in the morning on October the 1st, a trooper initiates a traffic stop and there's an altercation and the trooper discharges a service weapon, resulting in Brandon Nicholas being taken to the hospital before being pronounced dead. The trooper is not injured And the state police said they did recover a loaded firearm at the scene. So when you watch the video, the trooper pulls over Nicholas over a busted taillight. And the trooper has Nicholas, he gets behind the, they're talking, you know, at the rear of the car. And there's a time when he asks for the driver's license and he's going to let the guy go back in the car. But before that, he says, hey, look, before you go reach for anything, do you have any guns or anything in the car? And the guy goes, no, sir. And so Nicholas is what we don't know at the time is that he ends up being a convicted felon and he's not legally, of course, he's a prohibited person. So he can't even be in possession of a gun. So when the guy goes to open up the car door and go in the car to get, quote, his driver's license, the trooper on the floorboard on the driver's side sees a pistol and he tells the guy, get out of the car, you know, get out, stop trying to get the driver and grabs the guy. And that's, you know, kind of where it goes south. He has the guy against the side of the car and goes to the handcuffing. Probably not the best handcuffing, you know, I've seen, because normally you want to have at least control of one limb, you know, when you're doing that in case the guy breaks bad. But the guy breaks bad, gets in the car, troopers all over him. Also, the trooper smelled marijuana at the time. He saw the pistol on the floorboard as well. And so now there's a fight. The guy starts to pull forward in the car. Trooper falls back out of the car and fires at the guy and continues to fire at him as he drives away. He drives about a mile and a half down the road. And now we've got the cavalry shows up, including like EMS, and they grab the guy and they take him to the hospital. He dies. They find the pistol on the side of the road in like a ditch that he had thrown out of the car sometime between the mile and a half between where he was stopped and where he originally ended up. It's amazing they found that. Could you imagine they wouldn't have found the gun, Ken? I mean, in today's climate, you know? So anyhow, that's the way that ended. Commentary, Ken Afianco. You got about 1 minute.
This particular case, I need more information, because it was at least an argument that the guy was trying to drive away. I didn't see any movement that he was reaching for the gun, pull the gun out. I would need to know more. The article was very, very non-specific in details. If the guy was reaching for the gun, yeah, no problem. I just needed more. The article never said it. So that would be my twist on this particular case. If the guy wasn't reaching for a weapon, wasn't doing anything to attack the officer, just driving away, I don't know. But if he was reaching for the gun, no problem. That's the way I look at this one.
All right, good. Now, I wish we had more, you know, on the video, because it was kind of hard to see what was going on in the cockpit. So I agree. Guys, it's time for our next commercial break. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own attorney Ken Afianco and also Captain Brett Bartlett. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, the founder is Dan O'Kelly, and if you have your own agency, he's got a deal for you. You can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity, and you can go to GunLearn.com to get more info. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by attorney Ken Afianco. And wow, what I'll tell you, the topics we've got today, spectacular. Now, we just left off talking about a use of force on a traffic stop. Bad guy goes in the car for the driver's license, and there's a gun visible on the floorboard. And the cop tries to put him in handcuffs, and the guy breaks bad, goes back in the car. Officer ends up shooting the guy at that point. And as he continues to drive away, and the bad guy ends up dying after he pulls the car over a mile and a half down the road. And after he ditched the gun in a ditch during that mile and a half stretch of road again, because we never really saw the gun on the video. I don't think you did either, Ken. It would have been a heck of a story. I mean, you shouldn't have, you know, before we had body cams, we used to believe everything cops said in court, right? I mean, for the most part. And now if you don't have it on body cam, everybody's got all these questions about, you know, you got to prove that there was a gun, you know? So I don't know. Any final words on this one, Ken?
No, I mean, I need more information. That's
all right. All right. Well, hopefully we'll get it here on this next one. Our next video, we got Ben Crump involved in this one. So the Tampa Free Press at TampaEP.com, it was also on This Is Butter's channel. Florida mother faces felonies after violent arrest at a school. Attorney Ben Crump steps in. You know, I see Ben Crump's name and I automatically start thinking racial. I said, there's going to be a racial flag here. And of course, this is not going to, if that's what you guys think, this article will not disappoint. The controversial arrest of Erica McGriff, a Jacksonville mother facing felony charges after a violent encounter with a police officer that happened outside of a charter school. And it's got the attention of civil rights attorney Ben Crump. So Crump, alongside another attorney named Harry Daniels, announced that he is stepping in to represent McGriff, shifting the focus of the incident from a parking violation to a matter of alleged police brutality. Don't make me laugh, Ben Crump. Oh, my gosh. Did you not see the video? So McGriff and she's a black female. Of course, you know, I'm sure you guys suspect that with, you know, Ben Crump being a black attorney and pushing the racial agenda. So McGriff, 39, is arrested near the IDEA charter school, and it happened on Tuesday. And it starts with Officer Randy Holton. He's talking to her. She allegedly parked her vehicle, which she denied owning, at an intersection. And then it starts escalating. So he's talking to her. She's grabbing her like sandals off the ground. She wants to, you know, take off and stuff. He eventually has to put his hands on her to keep her there. So video footage from bystander cell phones, it shows a forceful struggle. She ends up, you know, fighting him. Eventually tries to put her in handcuffs and she's fighting and wrestling with him. He takes her down to the ground. She gets up, and then it's like a boxing match, right? He has to wrestle to the ground again, but he places her in a headlock, grabs her hair, grabs her by the hair. And you know, a lot of people just don't realize that when sometimes you're in a fight and you don't have a lot to grab onto, the hair can be a very interesting tool to use. The full video from the officer's body cam shows the confrontation from start to finish. There's some stuff the body cam doesn't show that the cell phone cam shows. The sheriff, T.K. Waters, is standing by his officer, stating that she violently resisted and that she bit him. You don't really notice from the video, at least I had trouble seeing it, but she allegedly bit him. She ended up being charged with battering a law enforcement officer That's a felony. Resisting an officer with violence. That's a felony. Operating a vehicle with a revoked license. And that's a third degree felony. So in a statement, Ben Crump strongly condemned the officer's actions, characterizing the arrest as another example of excessive force used against a black individual during a routine stop. Okay. And the disturbing video, this is a quote from Crump. This disturbing video shows yet another example of unnecessary and excessive force used against a black woman during what should have been a routine encounter. And this is what he's telling News 4 Jax, which is, you know, in Jacksonville, which of course never should have even given them the airtime. And Crump continues, no mother should be brutalized in front of her child and community for something as minor as a parking issue, unquote. Now, it goes on to talk about another Jacksonville Sheriff's Office incident involving a black college student that Crump got involved with. And this incident actually involved the first use of the HALO law. And Sheriff Waters said that at least two bystanders were arrested for violating the statute, which establishes a 25-foot perimeter or safety zone around first responders that are performing their duties after they've given a verbal warning for people to disperse, which apparently they did not do. So I'm sure that really got, you know, Ben Crump's panties all, you know, in a wad on that one, too. So Attorney Ken Affianco.
Yes, sir. This case just angers me because we can avoid all this stuff if you just do what the police tell you to do. Are you kidding me? All I see on Instagram are videos like this where they don't obey. They don't do anything other than want to fight and claim that they can't breathe. They can't move. You're hurting me. This, that, and the other. Are they looking for a payday? Answer, yes. How do I know that? Ben Crump. That's the answer.
Yeah. You know, and I'm not disappointed because, you know, you get certain things when you get attorney Ben Crump's name in them. And yeah, so this did not disappoint. It went right where I thought it was going to go, the whole racial thing. So yeah, I totally agree. Any final words on this one? We've got roughly almost 4 minutes before we go to the next one, but final words on this one.
Yeah, I really can't say anything else. Otherwise the FCC will ban me.
All right. Well, we don't want that.
No, we don't want that.
No, we don't though. No. All right. Well, thanks. Well, look, we may have enough room to cover our next one here then. And let me just say that I think that we'll go with the update article. I like this one. Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. A California court is blocking the full seizure of a murderer's retirement funds for restitution. So the title's suggestive, but yeah, we're in California, but we got a murderer and there was a move to grab his retirement funds for restitution to the victim's family is what it implies. Let's see what we got here. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit, normally a liberal court, handles California and Washington State, if I remember correctly, Ken, on Friday partially halted the government's attempt to seize the entire contents of a convicted murderer's federal retirement account, what they call a thrift savings plan, to pay restitution to the victim's families, plural. The court ruled that the federal law protecting a spouse's interest in the retirement funds, it prevents the government from cashing out the account in a lump sum without spousal consent approval. So the ruling in United States versus Wells pertains to James Michael Wells. He is convicted of murdering two co-workers at a U.S. Coast Guard facility in Alaska back in 2012. And when he was ordered to pay over $1.9 million in restitution, the Ninth Court found the district court erred by authorizing the government to collect the entire account balance of nearly $450,000, half a million, in a one-time payment. The panel, in an opinion authored by Judge Jennifer Sung, held that the Mandatory Victims Restitution Act of 1996, it only allows the government to seize property that the defendant is legally entitled to at the time of the order. And because the Federal Employees Retirement System Act requires spousal approval or consent for Wells to unilaterally collect and cash out this account, the government is also banned from doing it. Ken Affianco.
I understand what's going on here. You don't want to penalize an innocent person, in this case, a spouse who had nothing to do with the crime. I get that. The problem with the ruling, though, is they ban the complete and total amount of the account. I understand if the court were to separate it out, her portion, and didn't touch that, that would be the right thing to do. Okay.
So what if the surviving spouse gets 100% of the proceeds, like my pension? If I die, my wife gets 100% of my pension for as long as she lives.
The problem is that's payable on death. It's different. The guy's still alive. They're trying to attach it for restitution. That's different. You can't take a spouse's interest and take that away from the spouse because she's already earned that.
My spouse doesn't get it on my, she starts getting payments for the rest of her life, you know, my pension payments, but she doesn't get a lump sum. It's not like an insurance policy.
Well, it depends. If you're in the drop program, she would get a lump sum. It just depends.
But no, I'm talking about after. Drop is only when you're working. I'm talking about correct. After, you know, you're like with me, I'm retired. I have a pension and my spouse gets 100% of that pension, which it sounds like this female has $500,000 in a pension that she's going to get. Her husband died, so instead of them both getting it, she's going to get it now. It sounds like she's entitled to the whole thing. But
yeah, that's where I think they got it wrong. They should have parceled out her portion of it. In Florida, I understand what you're saying, but it's a different scenario.
In Florida, my wife, her portion is 100%.
Yes, but she would only get the 100% once you die. You have no vested interest in the money once you die. That transfers pursuant to the pension rules. So there it's a little different. He's alive. She has an interest in some of the money, not all of it. Again, that's where I think the problem comes in. They said the whole thing is untouchable because she has to sign a waiver to that. That's where the rub comes in. I think they got it wrong in that sense. Carve her portion out and then take the rest. That would be fair, in my opinion.
Well, thank you, Ken. Always so informative, so sharp. Thanks for dumbing it down for the rest of us. I do want to mention the Wounded Blue, thewoundedblue.org. Also our sponsors, Gauls.com, ComplianTechnologies.com, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, GunLearn, My Medicare, Safeguard Recruiting, Two Bells, and FisherLaneOfBass.com. We'll see you guys back tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern.